Derek, we're going to fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
In case you guys were curious, and we know you're not, I've had some technical difficulties leading up to this. So we're using, I think, the most basic recording system of all time.
Voice memo.
What is it?
It's called voice memo.
Voice memo. This is very sophisticated stuff, folks. We need you to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the sultry sounds of voice memo, which I'm sure is probably way better than GarageBand, right?
Well, and you can help us out by donating to our Patreon.
Yeah, you know, yes, you know what voice memo is? It's probably like Microsoft Paint is to Adobe Photoshop.
Oh, Microsoft Paint was great.
Yeah, we all love Microsoft Paint, right? So yeah. This should be like that when we all colored in different shapes and squares, and you know,
hey, it saved our butt tonight. So give it up for voice memo.
Way to go, voice memo. There's probably like one person on the Apple team working on that product. He's like, fuck yes, someone recognized me.
These guys are great.
They finally recognized my work.
Well, Stu, this is weird because we're talking together, and what are we doing right now?
Well, you know, to be honest, I didn't recognize you when I first saw you this afternoon because I don't think we've done a podcast in roughly
a year, dude.
Maybe less. I don't know. But, you know, pandemics, it's hit everyone in different ways. Derek and I just stopped seeing each other.
Yeah.
It wasn't a breakup. It was just a separation.
Yeah.
But here we are, Derek. And actually, this time we're on location. So we're at North Fifth Brewing. That's enough of a buildup, I feel like. We were talking about it for like 5 minutes.
We were, yeah.
Like, we're at North Fifth Brewing, which is very exciting because this is actually one of Vegas's newest breweries, launched in December 2021. Already on the scene, already being distributed at several places around town. They're at some BJ's locations. They're at a few, you know, they're making their way, and they haven't even been around for a year. So, Derek, before we get into all this, should we let it roll?
Oh my God, let's let it roll.
Let's let it roll for the first time in 12 months.
Woo!
Hi, my name is Stu Hawk, and this is my podcast about all the weird, crazy, spooky things that scare me and my guests, and the one thing that helps us forget all about them. Ladies and gentlemen, beer freaks.
We are back with Patrick, head brewer from North Fifth Brewing. Patrick, welcome.
How's it going, guys? Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for letting us come up here, see the place,
enjoy some
beers. I've already had multiple, so
as have I.
They're fantastic, dude. I can't even talk about it yet. It's too early in the podcast.
I don't even know what we're drinking.
Rule of beer freaks:
you don't talk about the beer.
Thank you. Actually, we do. That's all we do. We talk about the beer, but we don't talk about it yet. We talk about who we've got on first. So, Patrick, thank you for joining us, man.
Absolutely.
You know, I know you've got a long history of brewing in this town. Love for you to just give us a little bit of a rundown on like what you've been working on.
Yeah. I got my start over at Banger Brewing in downtown Las Vegas. Was over there for about 5-6 years. I started actually at the door.
Mm.
I was checking IDs and letting people in. And
whoa, no kidding.
Truly worked my way up. I kind of made friends with the owners there back when I was a home brewer, and when a job opened up, they're like, "Yeah, like if you don't mind working the door for a while, eventually something's going to open up in the brewery, and it'll be a chance for you to learn." Just kind of built from there, and assistant brewer there for a while. Eventually, got to be the head brewer, and then 4 or 5 years in, North Fifth approached me, Matt and Amanda, and showed me kind of what they had going on over here, and I was ready to make the jump. And been here for about 14 months. Our 1 year anniversary is in December. So,
wow. Hell yeah.
That's
hell
nuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yes.
Celebrate the 1 year anniversary because December is really the month of the hangover. You know, in my opinion, you got all the great beers coming out. You know, it's a lot of fun. So, I mean, North Fifth, this is a whole different side of town. I mean, I think everyone who loves beer in Vegas, probably very familiar with the Booze District down in Henderson. Familiar with the Arts District that's up and coming, the Beer Street.
Brewery Row.
It's a Brewery Row. That's what it's called. Yep. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit further north. You know, it's got a really unique location. So why did you guys select this location?
So Matt and Amanda, the owners here, they actually were running a restoration business that they took over for their dads. They've been working out of this particular location, which we're in a warehouse industrial location in North Las Vegas. They were out of here for about 20, 25 years.
Wow.
And then a couple years after they took it over, they said, you know what would be more fun than fixing houses that have flooded or been lit on fire is making beer. So they took the time. It took 3 years from when they made that decision to open up. And they already had the building. We have a warehouse, and they converted their office space into a tap room. Very similar to the Booze District, where, you know, Craft House and Astronomy and Bad Beater, all those are in a warehouse district with a tap room. And they kind of, Craft House kind of, I feel like, set that model for everyone in Vegas. And we've all kind of latched onto it, and we're the first ones to do it in North Las Vegas. So we're hoping, in Henderson, more people will follow out here, and we'll kind of build a little bit of a brewery scene out here too. So
absolutely. And, you know, obviously Vegas is spread out, right? And North Vegas is really growing from what I understand. So this could easily be the first of many, and hopefully the flagship of what's to come. Now, I got to ask you, though. So you said you were working the door at Banger.
Yes.
Did you ever have to deal with any rowdy guests?
No, everyone's very well behaved on Fremont.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I smell bullshit on that one.
That was... I probably blocked many of those out of my head, but yeah, there was some crazy stuff, as you can imagine. We were on literally Fremont Street and Las Vegas Boulevard.
Jeez.
Yep, so it's, you know, working the door on Halloween down there is a night I'll never forget.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, people come in really messed up.
Yeah.
Come into your brewery and, oh, you got I want a shot of Jameson, or do you got Miller Lite? And they don't even know they're at a brewery.
Like,
and,
dude.
You don't know where you are, do you?
Speaking of that, dude, I love a little tangent here. I love those guys that go into these tap houses and stuff. They have these amazing beers on tap. And they're like, hey, I'll take a Pabst.
Who's doing a Miller Lite? Who's doing that?
Give me a Schlitz. What are you doing, dude?
That was actually Derek 4 years ago. He's pulling that kind of shit.
What kind of loser? We literally made a beer that we called Beer Shot. We just made a 15% strong as possible beer. We didn't carbonate it. We served it as a literal 2 ounce shot for the people that would come in that were like, hey, you got a shot of something? We're like, yeah.
No shit. Did that diffuse the situation?
Yeah. So the easiest way to be like, yeah, we got this, and then we got some beer on tap.
Boom.
That's super smart.
You know, we adapted, and then since I've left, they've done a good job. Like, they have some cocktails now, and they've kind of merged into fitting that crowd a little better, but they still have, you know, really solid beer out there as well. So part of the fun down there is just sitting on the patio and people watching.
Oh, for sure.
That's part of that entertainment.
For sure. Banger's great, man. I love that place. But I got to tell you right now, what I'm sipping on, and I'm not going to talk about it yet, but it is very good. And
thank you.
I'm excited for the work that you guys are doing. But just so you know, if you visit North Fifth, you're dealing with a guy who has dealt with people on Halloween on Fremont in Las Vegas.
Yeah, don't mess with this guy.
Don't fuck around when you come up to North Fifth.
He seems like a big teddy bear, but I could see him kicking some butt.
Oh, there's a dark side.
I'm not going to mess around tonight.
I wouldn't either, dude.
All right. So right now... We're sitting in this tap room. Well, it's not a tap, it's a brewery. Has several beers on draft, right?
Yes.
And again, you guys are less than a year old, but you've got to have a favorite by now.
I'm actually probably drinking it right now. I'm drinking our German Pilsner Zicky Zacky.
Zicky Zacky. That's got to have a good story
where's
behind
the,
it.
Yeah, where's the name?
So that it literally is just, I think it just means to toast in German.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
Okay, not as good of a story. Not a good story.
I mean, no.
let's rewind. Okay, let's make a good story.
Cut that part out. So that's our beer that we did about 5-6 months ago and sold out like crazy. And we were like, oh, we got to do that one again. And now it's probably going to end up being a more regular in-rotation beer. But I love a good light.
A light
lager,
especially summertime in Vegas.
It's a nice 5.1% German style Pilsner.
Nice,
a little bit of hop character, a little spicy bitter finish, but nothing too crazy. Ooh. Very very crushable.
Now, is this one that's always on rotation? Do you guys have certain ones always on rotation?
So we have two that are pretty much always on rotation, Fiero and Flurry Mile, which have actual better stories behind them.
Nice.
Did you say Flurry?
Florida Mile.
Oh, I thought there was a Flurry.
We do have a White Cloud, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Rock on. Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, so Fiero is our Mexican lager. So that's actually named. So we're very family-oriented brewery. We're family-owned, family-operated.
Okay.
Matt and Amanda are brother and sister. They're the owners of the brewery.
Yeah.
My brother actually works here as well. So I'm the head brewer. He's the assistant brewer and the bar manager.
Oh, right on.
So it's very family-oriented. And they wanted to name this beer, Fiero Mexican Lager, after someone in their family, which Fiero is their grandmother's hometown.
Oh, right.
Out in New Mexico.
Okay.
So they wanted to kind of keep that family roots vibe.
Love that.
And then Florida Mayo is named after the street we're on, Mayflower. Nice. So we're not technically on North Fifth. So Mayflower is our street that we're on. That's our West Coast IPA.
So you guys lied about your name.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You know what? That's marketing, folks. So don't hold it against them.
That's all. No,
no, that's actually North Fifth has a cool name.
North
is cool.
North Fifth is
awesome. Well, and they named it that because they wanted, again, history being the first brewery in North Las Vegas, they North Fifth, the longest running street in North
Las
Vegas.
Is it the first North Las Vegas brewery?
Wow. Yeah, I thought, when they told me, I was like, cool. I thought Big Dog, but Big Dogs, I guess, is technically not North Las Vegas.
It's west, so it's probably more just Vegas, right?
Yeah, so we're, first official brewery in North Las Vegas. So they wanted to have something that tied it to the city. And North Fifth's longest running street in North Las Vegas. So they're
sick.
And it's pretty close to here. So they got to figure out we can get away with it.
Yeah. I think you totally get away
with it. That's awesome, man.
Yep. Okay. So one of the things that you showed us before the show started was just how much space you guys have in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are prepared to grow. Like, what do you guys want to get to? Like, where would you like to be distributed if you had your druthers?
Right. I mean, honestly, I view a brewery like New Glarus in Wisconsin. If you guys know anything about New Glarus, they only distribute in Wisconsin.
That's the one that is Spotted Cow, right?
Yeah.
So that's the one. I got a bunch of friends in Chicago. They literally drive to Wisconsin to go get Spotted Cow.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great lager. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like world ending, like, oh, I got to cross state lines. But the fact that they just distribute in Wisconsin kind of gives it like a little bit of mystique. It makes you, I don't know, there's an attachment to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I kind of want us, what I see for us is hopefully, and I'm sure many breweries in town have the goal is to like be that brewery that you associate with Las Vegas or Nevada.
Yes.
And I think a lot of breweries push out in other states right away and try and do all that. And I feel like you look at New Glarus and they're like something like the 15th biggest craft brewery in the country. And they only distribute in Wisconsin.
Wow.
So I think they're a great model for any brewery that's trying to grow. And we have so much room for growth in Vegas. Many breweries are opening now, which is awesome, but it's still, compared to so many other cities, we have so much room to make up. I know you have a San Diego background, and you go to San Diego, and I remember being at, I think we were at,
you can't walk down the street in San Diego without running into a brewery.
Yeah. We were at Alesmith.
And yeah,
we asked Alesmith's the bartender, great. Like, what's a cool brewery on here? He's like, well, there's like 18 within a mile. and it's like, oh, that's how many are in Vegas.
Yeah.
The entire city.
The entire thing.
Yeah.
No, the other thing like about New Glarus is obviously they've created this kind of cult following when it comes to IPAs, like Pliny the Elder, right? Like that's sort of like the model. Like, because they were one of the original IPAs, maybe not the original, but close to it. But they don't really distribute. And that's why people like literally make pilgrimages to Northern California, Russian River Brewing, to get Pliny the Elder, right?
Yeah. There's like that fine line between we want our beer to be available to a lot of people, but we also don't want it to be too available because it can lose that mystique. And it's, you never quite know where that line is and what's the right. So everyone, and especially today, everyone wants your newest release. That's the first thing people ask when they come into the bar most of the time is what's your newest beer?
I ask what's your favorite beer.
That's a good one.
I mean, that's
a good one. I asked what your weirdest beer is.
You do.
I
you know
that.
What? You're too. Wearing a Mojave Brewing shirt right now. Which
their pepper beer, man.
I still remember walking into the bar with you, and that was like the first thing you said.
Shotgun
like, what's
wedding.
Your weirdest? And you got Shotgun Wedding.
Yeah, they do some fun stuff. They do like some beers with cereal in them. their cream ale. I knew they do a bunch of cool stuff with their cream ale.
Yeah.
Every brewery has their like their one. You know what I mean?
That's at least
so
one.
Good. Yeah, at least
at
one.
Least one. Some have more.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I feel like this show has kind of turned you on to IPAs a little bit more. I know you're still not an IPA fan.
No, 100%. Like I'm a really big fan of hazies. I still can't go full skunk. You know,
we should get him a West Coast before he leaves today. Dude. It's actually a pretty mellow West Coast. I would say.
It's actually one of my favorite things is seeing someone who doesn't like IPAs and they insist I don't like them and you make them try them, then they make a face like, oh, disgusting.
Yeah, I do
love that.
Oh, it's great. So it's great. I remember the first time my wife tried an IPA, she said it tasted like grass, which, you know,
it sounds about
to
right.
an extent, she's not
Sometimes
wrong.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not like, a bunny.
A bunny. I thought you said mummy. I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with it?
Wait, you know, mummies love grass.
Yeah. Yeah. Out in the desert. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. Speaking of mummies, Derek.
Speaking of mummies.
All right. So we've got a couple of things that we want to get to, but first, we want to get to the beer. Because, I mean, the beer,
we gotta get
that's
to the
why
beer.
I'm in this business. But we do got to start with the fear.
We got to start with the fear. We got to get a little tease from you, Patrick. So don't tell us the fear, but try and you know what I mean? Like tease us a little.
All I'll say is that a couple of beers can cure my fear.
Ooh.
Well, but this, okay, so just so you know, the tagline of the show is all of the things that keep us up at night and the one thing that helps us forget all about them. So beer cures everything.
Yes. Right?
So you've kept it very broad.
I love it.
But you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
Because it keeps the audience engaged. All three of you are going to be waiting on pins and needles.
Mom, dad, Stu's mom.
Yeah, my aunt. A couple of cousins. Thanks for tuning in.
My wife will probably listen to this one. So
it'll be great.
There's a new one.
It'll be great.
But Stu, I got to say, I think we should take a commercial break. My tummy's hurting a little bit.
Yeah, you got a little Pepto problem?
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen to some Pepto.
Let's talk about the fact that Pepto-Bismol made a song about all of the things that we hate. That's bold. Almost as bold as a beautiful, wonderful IPA pouring into a perfectly clean pint glass that we all just love and enjoy. Pepto-Bismol, they don't sponsor the show, but one day they will. Pepto-Bismol, sponsoring the show since 2023.
All right, so all you guys tried this already, but I want to give my honest opinion on this.
What are you doing? You taking it? Oh, are we doing it?
Whoa.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's disgusting.
Dude, you know what? That's actually really, really, that's an IPA.
Yeah.
But like, we didn't even segue into this though, did we?
Well, no, we're going to. I just wanted to get my actual live opinion recorded.
Good.
That's it. That's wild that this isn't, there's no way this is an IPA.
I told you, it's not as hoppy, right?
Like, no.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of it in there that I can taste, but
hoppy is kind of a general term because there's technically more hops in a hazy than there are in a West Coast usually, depending. But I mean, in our hazies, we use probably 20 to 30% more hops in our hazies.
Holy cow.
But they're less bitter. It's all about when you add it and all that. So,
so is that the only difference is when you're adding the hops?
That's a big part of it. It's what type of hops you're using, what part of the brewing process you're adding them in. You know, the earlier you add your hops in during the boil, basically the more bitter your beer is going to be.
Okay.
More hops you add early in the boil. So hazy IPAs, some breweries don't even add hops into their boil kettle at all. It's strictly dry hopped in the fermenter.
Dry
hop. Or they add it in the whirlpool, which is after the boil.
Okay.
West Coast IPAs are more heavy on boil additions, but also super dry hopped. Mm. So it's kind of a melding of both. But yeah, it's all about when you add them. The West Coast has that bitterness that some people don't like, that piney characteristics, citrus, right, grapefruit, you know, whatever it might be, floral. One of our big things here is just like, we want every beer to be approachable, sessionable in its own way, and crushable.
And crushable.
Yes. I love that.
I want to pause on that word really fast.
It's fantastic. So
when I drink this IPA, and by the way, can you tell us the name of this IPA really quickly?
Yeah, so this is Flor de Mayo. And that's our West Coast staple IPA that we have on year round.
What's the ABV on this bad boy?
7%.
7%. Okay, so this is not a low octane beer.
No,
this is a good right down the middle IPA
for us.
So, well, yeah, some people might call it sessionable. Those people should probably think a little bit. But I would call this IPA very crushable because it's smooth. Like it's smooth. Like, you know, so actually, right. I'm glad you said what you said because hoppy is not the right word, mm-mm. right? It's actually bitter. So like this beer is not very bitter, even right. if maybe there's more or less hop, whatever. So it's not saying how hoppy something is. It's maybe more about how bitter it is.
And this particular West Coast kind of blurs the line between, you know, like you think of like Stone with like a classic, super bitter, piney West Coast. I feel like this is more kind of the modern version of what people want out of a West Coast, where it's got some of that bitterness, it's got that hoppy bite to it, but it's also got some fruity, floral juiciness. It's got a little bit of everything to it, but it still goes down nice and dry and crisp.
It goes down crisp, and I am getting a little bit of that floral. I'm getting a little bit of that juicy.
Yeah, just on that little back end, man.
And again, my IPA fantastic. Index at this point is primarily Derek's face when he takes a drink.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can handle it. So I think the Florida, what's the name of this beer again?
Flor de Mayo.
Flor de Mayo.
Mayflower in Spanish.
Flora de Mayo is, in fact, very drinkable for people who maybe don't even love IPAs. Maybe want to try to find a way to get into them, right?
No, this is amazing. Like, I could crush this thing.
I mean, honestly, I would say this is a really, really solid IPA. I mean, this is probably one of the best that I've had in recent times. And I will say this too. I have, in probably the time that we have not done a podcast, it's been a while. I've gone keto, right? That Ooh. Is problematic when it comes to beer drinking.
That's going to get you drunk quick.
This is going to get me drunk. It is. And also, I did have an IPA a couple of weeks ago. So I've been keto for, I don't know, 4 months now or so. Last time I had an IPA, it tasted almost like gross to me because like it had been so long since I think I'd had something that heavy and thick. This is like, again, I just go back to your word, crushable. So like this is not a light IPA. This is not like it's a good flavorful IPA, 7%, and I'm fucking enjoying it, man.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, well, like done. I said, that's really is my goal with any beer I make is it can be the, you know, crazy intense stout. It could be the lightest beer we make. I just always want it to be, you know, you finish a sip of that beer. And right away, you're like, oh, I want another sip. We want everything to just be like, oh, I want to have another one of these. I want to order three more. I want to have something else. Like, that's just kind of what we try and design every recipe as. So,
absolutely. Anyway, you know what? Off that subject, let's talk about
dun, dun, dun.
Patrick's fear.
Patrick's fear.
Patrick, we've had a little beer, mm-hmm. but you gave us almost nothing. With your fear. I mean, like, so what you said, and I'm just gonna like paraphrase here. So like he said the beer would help him with his fear, which is kind of bullshit, right? Because like beer helps basically every fear. In fact,
it does.
With our Uber driver, sorry, Lyft driver.
Yep, Lyft. Yep.
On the way up here, saw the stratosphere.
Wendy.
Like, what would it? She's gonna be so excited. She's got her name. Wendy, you are a doll.
You are now our fourth listener.
She's talking about her fear of heights as we pass by the stratosphere. So we're like, yeah, you just have a couple of beers, you know? So beer cures all fears. That's the point of the show. But Patrick, it's time to dive into your big fear. So drum roll.
My fear is public speaking.
Oh, but you would never know.
And here we are.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Mind you, we're in a little closet right now, so with nobody around. No, I'm kidding.
In Derek's sex dungeon.
Yep. There's a swing right over there.
We're actually all handcuffed right now.
That's actually making me more comfortable.
Yeah, we like that. Okay, so when was, like, tell us about this. Like, when was the first time you realized that public speaking was a challenge?
Well, and I feel like that's a very common fear for a lot of people, you know, and I feel like you notice it in school when you have to give your presentation or whatever it might be. And I know I just every time I'd have to give a presentation in school. You just get like the shakes.
Sure.
You get nervous, like the anticipation of giving the speech.
The best part about the shakes too is like, you know, like when you were in like your younger grades and you held a piece of paper.
Oh, you could see it.
You could see it. Well, you know, like
and you could hear it.
And you could even hear
easy.
It.
Easy. Well, yes. That's the worst part. And then it feeds into like your fear of like, oh, I'm gonna look stupid up there, and then you're shaking and it's like, yeah, you look stupid.
You look even worse.
Right. Yeah.
So you know then what? You know, it's better to either wing it or memorize it. You gotta figure out one.
Yeah, I just anytime I would have a presentation or anytime I have to talk in front of a group of people, this is different because it's just three of us chilling, drinking beer. But anything beyond like a group of five, six people, if I have to give a presentation or say something, it is the worst.
How big is your crew back here?
So we,
in the brewery.
It's perfect. We only have like six employees.
So we're right just enough to make you nervous.
Yeah. So right on that borderline.
What would be the threshold for you? Like where you'd feel uncomfortable.
And it's also different too when it's people I know or we're like it's strangers.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's been a long time, I feel like, since I've actually had to give a like a speech or something in front of a literally in college I had a class where I think 5 or 10% of the grade was a speech.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to have to do perfect and I don't have to give the speech
for everything
and
else.
And I literally nailed the class and I was like, I don't have to give the speech. And I've never been more motivated to do well in a class. I'm like, I got an A and I didn't have to do the speech.
That's hell wild, man.
So it probably isn't as bad as it used to be. I would imagine it's not as bad as it was back in the day, but it's definitely my biggest fear.
Where do you think it started? Like, where do you think it stemmed from?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've never really thought of it. I've never reflected on that.
You've never pondered? You've never stroked your chin thinking in a dark room? Like,
it's weird. It's one of those things where you think like, oh, like you imagine all the worst case scenarios in your head of what can go wrong.
Then
it never really happens. Like the worst thing is like, oh, I look nervous. But for some reason, it builds up in your head before. Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, like, literally, I think that there are more people, and this is an old Jerry Seinfeld joke, by the way. I'm not going to make a joke. I'm just saying, like, what the statistics, like, there's more people who are afraid of public speaking than are afraid of dying as a percentage.
Right. That's nuts.
And so a lot of people have this problem. I think even if you're not normally, sometimes you are.
Yeah, of
course.
It just
depends on your mood, your perspective in that given situation. But the funny thing is like literally, what is the worst thing that could happen?
Right. Yeah.
What like no, seriously, Derek, what is the worst thing that's ever happened to you while public speaking?
You forget what you're talking about. And you stumble around your words, but that's it. I mean, unless you pee your pants or something. I mean,
well, and it's like who actually remembers that?
Yeah.
Who's just walking around later that day like that fucking guy.
That fucking guy forgot a couple of words.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, they don't know you forgot freaking words. They don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that depends on how well you recover.
Well, yeah, as long as
as someone who doesn't recover well, they will notice.
You gotta own it.
That's so there is a difference. Yeah. But again, worst case scenario is like, that guy's not great at public speaking.
Yeah, and that's it.
I mean, unless your flies down and your dick's out or something like that, then that kind of sucks. But I don't think that has to do with speaking as much as just dressing
just
yourself.
Just do that.
That's a bigger
go out, but just have that happen.
I mean, that's a problem probably before you even got to the stage, if you have that issue.
That's an issue.
So I don't know. I mean, but it is funny that so many people have that problem.
Yeah, you know? I do wonder why that is such a common. Well, I really don't even know.
I think people are, like majority of people, I feel like, care what other people think of them.
Yeah.
So when they're going up there, they're like, oh, okay, I don't want to like look stupid to these people because then they'll think I'm stupid and we'll, you know, this whole
But no one really cares.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No one, and that's the thing.
No one really cares. Either actually, I think there's two sets of people who are listening to you. Either one set of people really care.
Yeah.
Or the second set of people, the first set of people don't care. The second set of people care, but they're actually rooting for you.
Yeah.
Like most people in the audience, like have you ever gone to some sort of thing where you can tell it's like not like professional speakers and like usually I'm sitting there in the audience. I'm like, I hope you do well, man. Yeah. Like
an open mic night or something.
Like they're nervous, you know, they're the mic's shaking in their hand and they're like, and I'm just like, I hope just do better, man. Do good. I think this percentage of people out there who are like, I hope you suck is very small.
Yeah.
Unless you go to a comedy show, you know, like then you got the hecklers and the assholes, but like But mostly people either don't care or they want you to do well.
Yeah, but that gets at fear in general. It's just, it's so irrational, you know, like.
Yeah. So when you think about public speaking, like, what is the worst thing that could happen, like, that pops into your mind?
Dick out. It's the dick out.
It's the dick out. It's just dick out. Yeah. No, like I said, I think it's just, you just think, oh, I'm going to look stupid. What I'm talking about, they're not going to take me serious, or they're going to, like, oh, this idiot doesn't know how to talk, or, you know, like, it's stupid, but it does, for whatever reason. It's more the build up too.
Yeah.
Like, if it's kind of like in class, like, if you could be the, if you're just the first one to give a speech, you don't have the time to get nervous.
Yeah.
It's almost like the ramp up makes it worse and worse.
Dude, that's the perfect point, because I am the guy that when a teacher calls, do I have any volunteers? I'm the first one.
Right.
Always.
So that's bold. That's bold.
Always. Because, well, for when I am kind of like, you know, I do like it. I like going up there. But, you know.
Derek just landed a commercial.
But then I don't. But
Derek just got to. I'm telling you right now. You got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it?
But.
Can you talk about it?
But let me go back to this.
No.
Look at.
Okay,
you're the first one up. You don't have to follow anybody. Like,
yeah,
you are the starting one.
But.
So it could be the worst thing ever, but it's awesome because you're the first up.
But the reason that you're comfortable with that is because you are outgoing.
Yeah.
And you're okay with, like, you've never been afraid of public speaking in your life.
I'm always afraid of it.
You are.
Always.
You are.
Always.
No, I don't believe that for a second.
Totally.
Totally. I don't believe that for a second.
But here's the weird thing about it is I love doing it, but it freaks me out all at the same time.
That reminds me, like,
it's very weird.
Adrenaline.
It's very weird.
I've listened to an interview with Bill Hader when he was on SNL.
I love Bill Hader.
And he was like, I would literally have a panic attack every week on the show. And like,
no shit.
Like, I hated going out there, but at the same time, it's what I love doing. So it was like a weird.
Wow.
Like if you ever listen to an interview where he talks about his time on SNL, he's like, I couldn't stand it. I was in a terrible place mentally. He would have like literal panic attacks.
Jesus.
But
yeah,
I had like an
amazing
idea.
Comedic performer that
he's made
it his life to perform in front of people. So it's like a weird, even people that do it well, can struggle.
Yeah.
Do you know what's interesting about that too? Like, did you know Bill Hader wrote for South Park?
Mm-hmm.
So really? like, and you know South Park? Have you ever seen 7 Days to Air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So fucking good.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
I mean, like,
once you get
pressure
it down
is
that well.
On.
But that's why South Park's amazing, because they can be so relevant.
They can be relevant immediately.
Quick. Yep.
Immediately. So Hader must just be an adrenaline junkie.
Right.
And now he's on Barry, which is also awesome.
Dude,
but he probably feels
fantastic.
Much better about that. You know, a little more relaxing.
Yeah.
In the
that
later
also
years.
Might have been live audience too is different than
live
or,
audience.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yep. Okay, so Derek claims to be afraid of public speaking. I think it's bullshit. It's fine.
He's just trying to make me feel better.
I think he is. I think he's trying to help you out, which is very nice.
Trying to connect.
It's commendable.
It's commendable. It's very nice of you, Derek, but we don't believe you for a second. Now, can we get back to the fact that you're going to be in a commercial?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about it?
No, we totally can. It's for Intermountain Healthcare.
Okay.
And so I feel it's going to be one of those commercials where it's like, you know, it's a voiceover and then you just see all the, you know, cutesy slow-mo crap happening. In the
are you the voice or are you the cutesy?
No, I'm one of the main roles in it.
Just to preface, like, I'm not bringing this up randomly. I'm just bringing this up as an assistant. Like, he likes being on camera. He's good at it.
I do like it.
He's good at, like, so, like, that's what I'm saying. Him telling you that he's afraid of public speaking is bullshit. It's just total bullshit.
But it is scary.
But I'm just using this as proof.
Yeah.
But I also enjoy this story.
Yeah. No. So this agency I've been with for a few months, I maybe got like 4 things they sent me to audition for. And this is the first one that came back. And the agency reached out and they're like, hey, they want to see a self-tape. So I sent it in. And then maybe a few hours later, the agency came back and they're like, hey, the client is asking, would you be okay posing as LGBTQ? I'm like, sure, but what would I be doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of need to
know
that.
How far are we talking?
Yeah, how far are we talking? And
not that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, like,
no, but you know, it's my first gig. I don't want to be, you know, I don't know. So they ultimately said, oh, you would just be like cooking food in the kitchen and then a little backyard barbecue with friends. Cool, dude. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So I get on set, and it's weird because my day job is on the other side, production coordinating. So I coordinate all the shoots, you know, hair, makeup, all that stuff. But now on the commercial, I'm on the other side, so I'm the talent. So they're doing my hair and makeup, all that stuff.
And you can yell at them.
Yeah, it was tight, right, dude? But yeah, long story short, like, you know, I did it, and me and this guy we're in the kitchen, and I'm stirring the pot of food, and I'm like lifting up the spoon to have him taste it, you know, and then we're in the backyard, you know, doing a little barbecue, and there's an older guy in it that's, you know, grilling the stuff on the grill, and then a couple of people in the background, and
that's not bad.
But it was funny because my boyfriend in it, you know,
yes,
he
the good
he,
part.
His main job, like other than these side gigs, is he is a dancer for Magic Mike. So I'm like, me, I felt very like, I'm like, dang, okay, you booked me to have a guy from Magic Mike be my boyfriend? Dang, okay.
I enjoy.
That pumps up my confidence right. A little bit.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Your first, you know, LGBTQ experience was really top notch, man.
I think so.
That's solid.
I thought that would be a realistic partner for you.
Anyway, yeah, so fun story. But back to Patrick.
Well, congrats.
Thanks, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, it should be out in September. So
sweet.
Very excited to see it.
Yeah.
Very excited.
It'll be fun.
I'm hoping your profile picture changes online.
I'll put
Ashley
the one
might have questions. That's fine.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So we've bled this stone of public speaking, and you know, admittedly, Derek and I are not psychologists, so you know, we're not going to try to help you solve
this
problem.
You're not going
to
fix me today.
Yeah, we're not going to fix you today. We'd love to try.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're done with the public speaking thing. We suck at public speaking. We all know that. Most humans are bad at it.
Yeah.
You guys are good at it.
Only TED Talks are, you know,
well,
those
no,
are the people
not,
that are.
No, Derek might be good at it.
No. We're,
look.
You're in commercials. I don't want to hear
where I don't say anything.
Well. You know, again, the tagline of this show is all of the things that keep us up at night and the one thing that helps us forget all about them. So
yep.
Derek and I, instead of, you know, leaning into modern psychology or the advances in medicine or anything like that, what's really important, if you're scared of something, just drink a beer.
Yeah.
Just drink a beer, man. I mean, just relax.
We dabble in a West Coast style, New England style medicine. So,
yeah. We're all over the coasts.
We're all over the coasts.
We got this figured out. Look, you could spend thousands of dollars on psychotherapy. You could spend $12 on a six-pack.
Yeah.
I mean, boom. Come on.
But,
and okay. I say $12 because I'm talking about a good six-pack.
Okay? Yeah, 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 yeah. But, Patrick, we're here with another beer.
Correct.
And you got to tell us about this sucker, man, because for one, the color looks amazing. I haven't tried it yet. So
this is a little beer we call Yippie Pie Yay for any diehard fans out there.
I love it.
So this is a mixed berry pie sour. So we've got blackberry, raspberry, and strawberry, and then some vanilla and cinnamon. That cinnamon gives you a nice little kind of pie crust flavor. Vanilla gives you a little sweetness, and then you get the mixed berry. So this is a nice tart, kind of pie-flavored sour. This is our very first sour we've ever done at North Fifth. We did it in collaboration with Silver Stamp, which is one of my favorite bars in town.
Relatively new bar.
Yeah, they opened, I think they just had their one-year anniversary actually pretty recently.
Oh, right on.
So they came down here, helped us brew this, came up with the idea with us.
Oh, my God.
They had it on tap for a little bit at their spot as well. Yeah, just nice and tart, kind of unique with a little cinnamon finish to it that gives you like a little warmth as you finish it. But yeah.
Well, why don't we do a little cheers before we take a little sip here?
Cheers.
Not because I feel like this looks like the blood of a virgin, but
wow, man.
I'm just kidding. It actually looks very appetizing.
Dude, so Tums, I won't need it for this guy. This is amazing. Again.
Like, did you take a sip before the cheers?
I did, yeah, but you guys already drank some.
Hey.
Okay.
We have the illusion of,
no one knew that.
Of podcasting here.
Oh my God, I did. I'm sorry. Crap. Did you guys want to take one?
Derek. Hey, don't edit
sorry,
this out.
I totally messed
I'm not
it
gonna
up.
Let you edit this out.
I messed
you know
it
what
up.
I'm gonna do? Is over the next like the final 20 minutes of the show, I'm going to keep saying don't edit out the portion where Derek admits to drinking first.
It would be uneditable.
That way you can't edit it out.
But seriously, no, this is crazy.
It's really good.
This is not, this is not,
tastes like a pie.
When I see sour, I automatically think like this crazy bite that happens at the end. This is fantastic. Everything's really balanced so well. You know, you're totally right about the cinnamon in the back of it.
You know, yeah.
And then,
yeah,
and then
you got like a little, yeah, kind of supposed to mimic that pie crust flavor, but
yeah.
It's crazy. Like with the cinnamon, it does come through at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you did that. Some sort of wizardry,
yeah,
of, that's of what magic. It was. I'm not really sure.
Jesus.
You know? You watch Harry Potter enough. Maybe you picked up a few things. I don't know. But like, but yeah, you get all the fruit flavors, which are really incredible.
Yeah.
I almost get kind of like a, I think it's a blend of everything. You get like a rhubarb, almost like tart sort of.
100%. Yeah. And,
but then the cinnamon comes through in the end.
Yeah.
And it's truly like you get that pie crust in mm-hmm. that, like the final taste. So you don't have to reveal any secrets here. But like, what gave you the inspiration for this?
So this is actually, so I mentioned, I think earlier, me and my brother have been brewing together for a while, and he's one of our brewers here as well. And this is a sour that we've been wanting to do, like a pie sour. For whatever reason, that just stuck in our head. I'm sure we probably had a sour from some other brewery that kind of had similar flavors, and we're like, oh, that'd be really good.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about, you know, whenever we do a sour, this is the one we want to do. So when it came time, we're like, oh, we're going to do a sour here. Like, oh, we're doing a pie sour. We're not going to start with, you know, something all very approachable. And you know, I think this is still like a, like I said, a crushable or a drinkable sour. Crushable. You know, it's still full of flavor, but we're like, we want to kind of go for it with our first sour. So we're like, we've been talking about this pie sour for a couple of years, yes, but let's actually execute it. And it's pretty much what we were going for. So
hell yeah. You guys executed it.
So how do you figure out like when to add kind of everything in? I mean, obviously being a brewer, you kind of probably figure it out, but like, especially if it's something you haven't done, like how do you, I mean, have you ever had batches where you make something and you're like, whoa, this is awful. And it just goes down the drain and you're like, crap, that was a lot of stuff.
So, but, I mean, it really just depends, the type of ingredient you're using. You know, peppers are a really good example. We were talking about a little bit earlier, off mic, but like when you add a pepper can totally change a pepper beer. You know, if you add it during the boil, you're going to get more of the, you know, the aroma and the flavor of the pepper, but not the heat. But if you add it in the fermenter and let it sit on those seeds and that pepper, it's going to get spicy. And you know, so it's all about what are you going for in the beer? What are you trying to pull out? And then how long do you want it to sit? Do you want, you know, coffee, for example, if you're having a beer sit on coffee for a day, it's going to be a little lighter. And if you want it to really have like that roastiness, you let it sit a little longer. It just kind of depends. But for this particular beer, we added the fruit, the vanilla and the cinnamon in the post fermentation in our fermenter. And then I added a little more cinnamon just because I wanted a little more cinnamon on the finish in the bright tank where we carbonate the beer. And now it's just kind of, I tasted it in the process. I felt like I needed a little more cinnamon, so I added it.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it just kind of depends. It's all different. And a part of it, one of the things we do here, we call it our True North series. We do a single keg where we'll add an ingredient, whether it be fruit or coffee or whatever it might be, to just one single keg. And that's our way to kind of, you know, get kind of crazy, try something different.
The test group.
Yeah. And if we try it and it doesn't work out, we're dumping one keg instead of an entire batch.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, right now we have our passion fruit, orange guava version of our hazy. That's just a fruited
version of
our hazy. We got a pog.
You got a pog.
That's awesome. Call it Pog Slammer for anyone that liked pogs.
Oh, yes, dude. The good old slammers.
Dude. That was in the alleyways, man. Throwing the pogs.
Those were the days.
Throwing those slammers.
And if you were born after 1995, you have no idea what the fuck we're talking about. That's fine.
You missed out.
Yeah, you 100% missed out.
Yeah, they suck.
Let's bring that back. Can we have a pog night?
Sometimes I look back and I don't really understand why we love pog so much, but I really did at the time. Yeah,
it was the design.
Awesome. It was the brand.
It was the design.
Yeah. And when you flip those suckers, man, you're like, nice.
I feel like if you were born between like 95 and 2000, that was the worst time to be born.
Yeah.
Because like out on a lot of fun stuff before the internet age, but then you're like too old to be part of like the modern internet age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they couldn't be TikTok superstars because they're like, you know, a little too old to be, you know. I don't know. I think you just missed out on a little bit of a generation there.
Right, yeah, I agree.
But dude, I'm feeling the sour. I love this.
This is really good.
This is nuts. Would you consider this a Christmas beer?
It's spicy. It's got cinnamon.
It's got cinnamon. Does it have cinnamon?
You know what?
Or no.
This may not be a Thanksgiving beer. Or sorry. God damn it. I just gave away my ending. It may not be a Christmas beer, but it's definitely a Thanksgiving beer. Shit.
It's fine.
I'm drunk. I told you I'm drunk.
I think it's that IPA, dude.
We are keto. Talking about doing a fall sour, maybe with some cranberry or something.
See, that okay.
fits the end of the year.
That'd be good.
That would be fantastic.
A little cran.
And we may be doing a pumpkin beer as well.
I love it.
It'll be coming out in November, October.
Yeah, I think
pumpkin beer is a very hit or miss, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It can be way too sweet.
Right. And a lot of time spicy. It's just the spice.
Yep. We appreciate you having us, by the way, man.
Thank you guys for coming out. This incredible. Has been awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
For making the trek down to the brewery.
Hey, of course. And I think North Vegas is about to take off, man. And you guys are going to be the flagship here. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
No cheers, Derek? What?
I thought it was an air cheers.
No.
Oh, okay.
We're close enough.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Stu, this is our first podcast back in a minute.
Indeed.
And it was the best way to start it, I think.
It's our best podcast yet. On site.
Yeah.
We need to do a great guest.
We need to do more on site. I think on site is the way to do it. Man. But Patrick, dude, thank you so much for letting us come here, shoot the shit with you. This has been fun. Letting us try your beers. I mean, the coolest thing about this podcast is when you get to try the beers that the brewer made, and then you talk to the person who made the beers while you drink the beers. Yep. Like, it's crazy. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Gotta love it, man. And thank you for doing it, man. It's been fantastic. I am well inebriated. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It might just be me because I'm
on keto.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it, you know. But here we are. Cheers, man. Appreciate it. It's been great. Thank you again. And Derek, as always,
yep.
we'll be seeing you, man.